Good morning. We continue Psalms for Summer. And this Wednesday night, we continue Dinner and Chosen, 6 o'clock for dinner, 7 o'clock for the Chosen, Season 5, I believe it's Episode 6. And if you get your name to us, text me, call me, whatever you want to do, we'll make sure we have some food here for you at 6 o'clock. We've been having a great time, both connecting for dinner beforehand and watching The Chosen on the big screen with the subtitles. Yes, you can decipher through the accents and everything. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Sean for stepping up to the plate, preaching last week. Appreciate Russ Munson for all the things he does behind the scenes. Everything that you ever see out there is because of what he does on the tech end of things, and he does it so well. Kyle and Chris, the two-man band last week, and I've got nothing but positive reviews for the two of them, and also to Paul Jepson for, I was so glad he was in town to be a part of the service up front as well. Also, we're continuing in the book of Psalms, and it's a Psalm of David. Now, almost half of them are, 74 out of the 150 are attributed to him, but this is one of his best known, and today I hope to be sharing some insights that I picked up while hiking in Alaska. And I was thinking about Psalm 139 the whole time I was there. There, I gave it away. I told you which one it is. Yeah, I was kind of, you know, you read it a few times before and you read it right at the beginning of the trip. But it just blows me away. What I'm going to tell you really blows me away because God's so far ahead of me on all this. So I actually scripted this message. When I say scripted, I handwrite things. And I had about a 7-hour layover in the airport. And the one thing I knew I would really like, I could sit in a chair with my notebook like this, but I really like having a table, but there's not a lot of tables, and I'm not that kind of traveler that I get to go in the lounges, you know, whatever exclusive club or whatever. So what international airport has like 10 picnic tables in the, like, out in the ticketing area? That would be Anchorage International, so it was the perfect spot. And David actually writes, and I didn't notice it till yesterday because I've looked at different translations, "You see me when I travel." Wow. I was just like, how apropos is that for me? I'm like 3,000 miles from home, and Jesus is just saying, "I see you when you travel." Jesus sees you wherever you are as well. Then it came to mind, we've got this group down in Kentucky, 27 folks from our church are down in Kentucky. I was praying for them, thinking about them this week, and Jesus is like, "Yeah, I see you when you travel." Let's pray. Lord, you want to speak to us a whole lot more than just verse 3, but I thank you for this psalm, inspired by your Holy Spirit, anointed for us to read today and to consider today. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love that you give, forgiven.
give a shout out to Warren Wiersbe. I've been reading his commentary on Psalms, and it certainly has been helpful. And I went up to Alaska to hike for about a week. And the first day we arrive in Anchorage, we did some urban hiking because we took a red eye. We arrive at 4:27 in the morning and we can't get our rental car till 6 o'clock. So it was hurry up and wait, and didn't sleep much on the flight. So pretty tired when I got there. And then we rental car place opens at 5:30. Great. But they don't give us the car till 6 o'clock. Anyway, we did some urban hiking, but between midnight and noon, it was actually real time, 15 hours, of which maybe I slept three. And so it was just a bizarre morning. The guests wouldn't go by fast enough. They let us check into the hotel at one. But as I was doing some of this urban hiking, I'd love to check out the area I'm in. We were actually downtown Anchorage. And across the street, there's a restaurant I really wish I had a chance to try. But I was looking at the menu, you know how they post it outside, and I'm reading this menu, and this young lady, a pretty young girl, I'd say around 20, I'm no good at gauging that, I knew something was wrong. She kind of stumbles behind me, and she just leans up against the wall, and she's retching. And I just asked her, are you okay? Is there something I can do for you? And I don't know if that she was so out of it that she wasn't able to, but she didn't respond. I didn't want to call 911. I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. I figured someone local might know her. I went in the restaurant to try to find someone. And by the time I got back outside, she was gone. She had staggered away. But it's just one of those things that makes an impression on you. And then I discovered that right across the street, which was adjacent to our hotel, was this building. I never saw anyone go in or out of it. It's called Covenant House. If you know what it is, it's a mission that reaches out specifically to runaway teenagers. And whether she was connected with them in any way, shape, or form, I don't know. But it just struck me, because Covenant House has made a big impression in my life. It was back the summer of 1988. We did our first urban mission trip to inner city Philadelphia. And that was significant because since then, I don't even know how many. I've been to Philadelphia and Chicago and Phoenix, probably around 15 plus mission trips, probably easy 15 plus mission trips. But that was the first one. We took a side trip to New York City, and the students wanted to go to Times Square, but also some of the students were aware of Covenant House. And so I remember just the impact it had on students back in 1988. And I remember going back again, I believe it was 1996, and getting a tour and getting to meet some of the people there and just realizing these are teenagers that don't have homes. And if they did, they desperately wanted to get away from those homes. And I could see it hit home with the teenagers. So Covenant House has always been kind of a special place to me, and it was an eye-opener for that group. There's a friend of mine, her name is Cassandra, and she started an organization called Reclaim 13, which battles human trafficking. That's a whole other component that ties in with runaway teenagers, and it's a terrible business. But Reclaim 13, my friend Cassandra, and other people that are a part of that organization, they combat it. And I was actually at a luncheon that I was invited to. It was a very special luncheon. And afterwards, I was driving away, and a song came on the radio. It's hard for me to believe this, but I've gone back and done the math. For the better part of the past five decades, going back to the 80s, the 90s, and the three decades of this century, millennium, for the better part of each one, I've been involved in student ministry. I am no expert. I am still a student of student ministry. But if you can work with young people and not care about the ones on the fringes, you don't belong in youth ministry. And there's a song when I turned on the radio that always, I don't know that it ever doesn't cause me to emote. And I hear it rarely. You might recognize it. It's called Runaway Train. Call you up in the middle of the night like a firefly without a light. You were there like a blowtorch burning. I was the key that could use a little turning. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I couldn't keep. Promised myself I wouldn't weep. One more promise I couldn't keep. It seems no one can help me now. I'm in too deep. There's no way out. This time I've really led myself astray. Runaway train, never going back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting somewhere. Somehow I'm neither here nor there. Can you help me remember how to smile? Make it somehow all seem worthwhile. How on earth did I get so jaded? Life's mystery seems so faded. I can go where no one else can go. I can go, no one else knows. Here I am, just a drowning in the rain with a ticket on a runaway train. I hope you can feel that, but folks, there are so many people that are running away in so many different ways, and this, you'll see the psalm is going to address this. After walking away from Covenant House, there's all these parking lots, and my hiking buddy Craig said, there's so many parking lots here. And I haven't had a chance to Google the statistics, but we met so many people that said, yeah, I left society on the lower 48 to come here to Alaska. I looked at the trucks, all these license plates that were out of state. It's not easy to get from the lower 48 to Alaska. What are they running from? The past? Broken relationships? Broken homes? Mistakes? Running from God? Think about the first family. Think about Adam and Eve. The very first two human beings, they run from God. They run away from Him. They think they can use a fig leaf and that'll work. God won't see me. I'll hide behind a fig leaf. Jonah, he didn't want to serve God. He didn't want to do what God had for him to do. So he ran away and it went from bad to worse. The mission team that just got home from Kentucky, there's a devotional on the story of John Mark. John Mark, three times in the story, runs away. Runs away from God's purpose for his life. Now, I'm not faulting him. And in the end, he ends up exactly where he's supposed to be with Jesus. How about you and me? Are we hiding? Are we running? Are we deceiving? You can't get away from God. And that's what this psalm is really all about. You can't get away from God. And there's somebody else you can't get away from. This is an old Jackson Browne song, Bright Baby Blues. I'm sitting down by the highway, down by that highway side. Everybody's going somewhere, riding just as fast as they can ride. I guess they all got a lot to do before they can rest assured that their lives are justified. Pray to God for me, baby. He can let me slide. Because I've been up and down this highway far as my eyes can see. No matter how fast I run, I can never seem to get away from me. No matter where I am, I can't help feeling I'm just a day away from where I want to be. But the point of the song is he never gets there. And he can never get away from himself. You ever feel that way? I think David understood that. David understood that sometimes we've seen the enemy and he is us. But the good news is it's futility to try to run from God. And David really seems to understand that. O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. Folks, what a verse. This is Psalm 139, verse 1. This is the thesis for the foreword. You know everything about me. Let that sink in for just a moment. Verse 2. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away.
You know, there's some kind of heavy stuff to this message, but like this idea that he knows our thoughts and he knows where we are. That means when I walk into the room and I can't remember why I walked into the room, Jesus knows. He knows why I walked into the room. And folks, when I lose things, and I lose things on a regular basis, humans do that. How about these car keys? You have to look for them till you find them. I mean, it's more than car, it's church, it's house, it's so many keys on there. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, Jesus, you know where it is, if you could tell me. And you know what? Every time, it works.
Eventually, it works, sometimes faster than others. Verse 3, I've already alluded to this one. This one,
I was going to do this in the ESV, and then I was going to do the NIV, because I remember Michael W. Smith quoting it. He had this whole psalm memorized. It's like back in 1986. It was powerful. It's like I always hear Michael W. Smith's voice when I read this. But this is a little different in the NLT. You see me when I travel. Wherever you travel. If you're running away to Alaska, if you're going on a hiking trip to Alaska, if you're going on a mission trip to Kentucky, he sees you when you travel. And when I rest at home, oh, that was me this morning. I actually got home from Alaska 6 a.m., which was 3 a.m. my time, and had nice breakfast with Heidi. And I said, I think I'm going to take a nap. Oh, did I take a nap? Wow, was I out, like out cold. And you know what? Jesus saw me when I rested. And when you rest at home, you know everything I do. He knows our thoughts from far away. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that we do. There is no getting away from him. You can't run away from him. And the bottom line is, why would we want to? But it's part of the human condition. Verse 4. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing upon my head. I'm sorry, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. That's verse 4. He knows our words even before we say them, even when we mess up. He knew it before it came out of our mouth. Let me just say this, and we're going to see it later in the psalm. He knows everything in advance, but it's not advanced to him. He sees everything. I thought about this as I was on the hiking trip, and I just thought, God knows everything that's going to happen every day. He knew that bear was going to show up here. He knew this animal there. He knew all these different things, but he lets us play it out in real time.
But he knows it all in advance. Verse 5, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head.
He leads us, and then he comes behind us. Sometimes, and I can remember actually Times Square, New York, having a mission team there with teenagers. Had a really good leader. He's a missionary now. His name's Ben. And I can remember, I'd just tell Ben, I said, you bring up the rear, I'll lead. But don't let anyone get behind you. And I'll keep looking back. I do it in an inconspicuous way. And I don't tell everybody this is what we're doing. But we don't want anyone to slip away. And Times Square is not necessarily, it's friendly, but it's not necessarily the safest place. But Jesus does that for us all the time. He goes before us and he follows us. There are some things on this trip when we were driving, when we were hiking. I was praying for angels one time when we were hiking, but I think the angels came through when we were driving. And God protected us multiple different times. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. He knows everything. Words, thoughts, actions. How about this? He knows motives. I love that he knows the motive. He's the only one that can help straighten out my motives. This is too great for me to understand. Because he doesn't just know this about me. Let's not be self-centered here. He knows it about everyone. I was just on a flight, the person next to me, I would say is about my age. I play a game, older or younger, and I'm going to guess a month younger. I don't know. Every moment that I was awake, she was playing this game on her phone. And it just kind of intrigued me. It's like Jesus knows everything about that woman and her husband. Everything. He knows everything about everybody. Just think about who we're dealing with. 7 billion people. And he knows the motives. He knows what they're thinking.
Well, sometimes we don't hide all of us. Sometimes we just hide part of us, like our heart or maybe a habit. And we think we can hide from God, but we really can't. I love verse 7. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence.
Folks, that's good news. You can't get away. Now you might feel uncomfortable sometimes, like, Jesus, you might want to go in the other room for a little while, or Jesus, you stay here, I'm going to go somewhere else.
No, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Verse 8,
do you have good days and bad days? I think David did. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go to the grave, you are there.
I've stood graveside multiple times this summer already. Got a video recently of a very unique burial, I'll say that. Folks, we encounter the grave. And Heidi and I have just been talking about it. We just seem to get report after report. Got a call from somebody I had in sixth grade Sunday school that his dad had just passed away. We deal with the grave, but let's go back to Psalm 23, that through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not our destination, but Jesus is with us there. If you go up to heaven, you're having a great day. Of course he's there. Good days, great days, horrible days, darkest days. Jesus goes through all of them with us. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell on the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Distant lands, highs and lows, guidance. Do you want guidance? One of the prayers that is quickest off my lips is, order my steps.
Order my steps.
And he does. I can't explain it that he seems to always put me where he wants me, when he wants me. When I hike, I use a hiking stick, and it can be kind of dangerous because, you know, falling isn't as simple as it used to be. I did a trip 5 years ago, 2020, Four Corners area, and there were some drop-offs, and there were some, and I'm like, Jesus, don't let me fall. And he didn't. The last night, I'm walking near our hotel. It's like a hotel complex. There's a bunch of hotels. And I'm on the sidewalk. I'm texting some people, going for a stroll. And I trip on the sidewalk, fall on some lush grass, which is actually wet. And some people would be like, well, why did that happen? That's bad. It's like, it just told me. You could have fallen anywhere, but God had me the whole time. The whole time. He's got you. I hope you understand that. I love what it says here as well in verse 10. Not only will he guide us and seek it, ask for his guidance, and your strength will support me.
You need strength today? How many of you are feeling weak? How many of you are feeling like that challenge is just too much for me? He wants to give you strength today. Verse 11, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you.
Now, we would think darkness and light would be different to God, but he's so far beyond us. And he created the light. It says in Genesis, the book of Revelation, says we won't need the sun and that he will be the light.
So he's in a whole nother stratosphere.
On our trip, we stayed at some nice hotels, and we stayed at some other hotels. There's this one place, it was a motel and RV park. So they didn't have ice. I have this cooler, and it's like, I just didn't think about it. Some places aren't going to have ice. It didn't have ice, because you can go from point A to point B, keep all your stuff cold. It also didn't have heat in the room, which would have been nice, especially because the window wouldn't close all the way, and it was pretty cold. But that's okay. They didn't have shampoo or a blow dryer. They didn't know what a blow dryer or a hair dryer was. There's a few other things, but they were very nice people, and when we left, when they asked us, how was everything, we just said, fine. I mean, they were really sweet kids. The one was from, and they were dating. There was this girl from Slovakia, and he was from the Czech Republic, and I mean, I didn't have the heart to tell them, this place is a dump. You know, it's just like, no, we love you guys. And I told them, I do a lot of weddings. And as I stepped closer, they started to think maybe we're just going to do the ceremony right there, right then. But we didn't. But the other thing about our room, there was hardly any light in it. And I don't think my eyes are fading, but I'd be over in my suitcase and I got dark colored stuff. And there's no light bulb. There's, you know, you're pulling out your cell phone flashlight all the time. And I felt like the old man. And then we get to the airport. We had to switch cars. It's a long story, but it's kind of dark in the garage. And then my young friend, Craig, he's only 52. He's like, I can't see her. I can't distinguish between. It's kind of like, yeah, we deal with darkness, don't we? And we can't. When we're in the dark, we're kind of lost, right? But God's not. No matter how dark it is, he's not lost. I love this story. There was a couple. They were on their honeymoon. It was, I can't believe it was like 40 years ago. It was my
brother, Rick, and his wife, Carol, they went on a cruise. And they went to see a movie on the cruise, and this is 40 years ago, but they walked from outside right into the movie theater, and it seemed like it was pitch black, and they were walking along like this. They couldn't see. They're staggering in the dark, and some kind old man, which probably means a 50-year-old, you know, now, took them by the arms, guided them to some seats, and they were like, how could he possibly see? But then their eyes adjusted. And then they saw other people doing the same thing, and they realized that was us. Everybody saw us walking along like that. Here's the point. When you can't see, Jesus can. The Lord can see. And what can we really not see? Tomorrow. But Jesus does. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. He's not saying it's going to be perfect. He's saying he's going to get you through tomorrow because he'll be with you. What you cannot see at all, Jesus can see fully. You know, one of the things that we can't look at the sun, right? You know, you look at the sun, it would burn your eyes out. God can look at the sun. You know what animal can? An eagle. An eagle can stare at the sun. That's why they liken John's gospel. If you have to have one animal kingdom member that represents John's gospel, it's an eagle. Because John, like nobody else, was able to look at Jesus and see him as he really was and record what nobody else recorded. Is that your desire? See, the other side of this is God knows us, but how well do we know him? We'll come back to that. But God also has night vision. Like when you're stumbling along in the dark, he sees everything. So trust him. Trust him. He will get you through. He sees your tomorrows. Verse 16. And I went out of order here, but I'll come back. It was a little glitch, but that's okay. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. He knew everything. Now, one of the things that I like to say is God can look at your life, like he could pull your life like a book off the shelf, beginning, middle, end. He knows it all. But it doesn't mean it's causation. Foreknowledge does not mean causation. According to Scripture, we have a free will. Otherwise, God cannot evaluate us on our lives if it was prescripted for us. He gives us a choice, but he simply knows how it's going to end. In Christ, there's no reason for our story not to end well. And I could give you chapter and verse. Old Covenant, many stories, many people's stories did not end as well as they started. New Covenant, much, much higher percentage. Much, much higher. May your story end well. Let's go back to the verses that I skipped over, verses 13 through 15, because this talks about how we are created. He made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. It's amazing. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Nobody else could see it. I don't care, ultrasound, anything. Nobody can really see it except the Lord God Almighty. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. So just a few thoughts here.
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderfully complex, I love that.
If you look in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter, it says that we are God's workmanship.
I love this verse. You've probably heard me talk about it before. It's the actual word in the Greek is we are God's poema. We are God's poetry. And it's plural. So it's not just individually, but individually, I believe we are as well. But there's something together that we are his poetry. We are his masterpiece. I love this wonderfully complex. And I know we're in the cyber world right now, but think of your spouse. Write a note to your spouse today and affirm them for being wonderfully complex. Yeah, sometimes there are things we just don't understand. I always say that in a wedding ceremony. You chose well, but he's going to think like a guy. You won't understand him. She's going to think and feel like a woman. You're not going to understand her. The Bible doesn't say you have to understand. It says to love and to respect. If you do that, you'll have a wonderful marriage. That's just the way it works. But yeah, write a note. Just tell your spouse you're wonderfully complex. They might not like that complex part as much, but it's true. So what transpires in the womb? I don't have time, but if you want to check it out, there's a TED Talk, and it's from conception to birth. And this NASA scientist literally is saying this is divine. What happens is divine, it's magical, it's miraculous, it's incomprehensible. It really is. I love in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says that women will be saved through childbearing. How many women do you know that they're in awe of this human being that is growing within them, and the whole process and everything that must develop and the order in which it must develop and how it knows to do that, the genetic coding that only God could have put together. And then at the time of birth, all the things that only happen then have to happen, and they have to happen in the right sequence. And the switching from receiving nutrition and oxygen through the umbilical cord to, it's beyond comprehension. It's divinity. It really is. Did you know that bears, they get pregnant in summer, they give birth while they are hibernating? I know some women out there are like, I wish that, but they actually do come out of hibernation to nurse the cub. It's a phenomenal process. There's some other very interesting things about bears. Folks, this is an amazing, amazing development from birth, from conception to birth. Let me just mention that abortion interrupts this miraculous process. If you've been a party to that interruption, God has mercy and grace for you. But that is the path by which every single one of us got here, this divine path of conception to birth, which is beyond our ability to even understand. What might have been with every unborn child? How might that one have, what would they have offered to our world, to our church, to our family, to our community? God only knows.
God only knows. We will conclude with the final two verses in just a moment.
But I want to, there's a couple verses I'm leaving out because I preached on them earlier this summer. But we'll get to verses 23 and 24. Verses I memorized in college and are great verses to meditate on every day. I mentioned that I asked God to order my steps. And before the trip, I prayed for divine appointments. What do I mean by that? Just God, put me where you want me, when you want me, and have me talking to the people you want me to talk to. Craig and I went out to dinner this one night at this 49th State restaurant. It was really good. I had bison meatloaf wrapped in bacon on top of mashed potatoes. I got to get back to that place. It was really good. And we were like a table for two like this. And there's like a 6-inch gap, another table for two. Well, there was Chuck and his wife. I don't remember his wife's name. And you're trying to keep your distance, and I'm very social, but he offered us some of his appetizer. We said no like three times. Then finally he said, I just ordered so much tonight. He goes, please. Then I said several times, we can stop the conversation and let you get back to your regularly scheduled dinner. But he insisted, and we just had the best. It was like the four of us just had dinner together. Ordained from the foundation of the world. Then eventually, I don't out myself as a pastor right away. But when he started mentioning something about Willow Creek Church, but he's from the Carolinas. Well, turns out we're all followers of Jesus. And we just had the best conversation. It was just going out to dinner with new friends. Then we kept stopping at spots so we could see Denali, the mountain. And there was this, I made this observation about Mount Rainier, and there was an older couple, literally older than me. And I just chose to say it the way that I really thought about it. Mount Rainier, I was there last year. 2 days it was crystal clear, different in the morning to afternoon to evening, different lighting. But one day it was kind of cloudy, but the clouds would blow across. And I said, it was like the glory of God. And I paused and I thought, I'm not trying to preach to people, but that seemed to resonate with him. And we talked, and there's reason people were talking, because we're all trying to find Denali in the clouds and everything, and just a thing. Well, we go down the road to the next place. Oh, sure enough, he's there again. His wife reminded me of Kathy Bates. And so we got chatting again, and then, oh, we're from Chicago area. He goes, well, what town is Willow Creek in? I'm like, another guy that goes to Willow Creek. Turns out he's a pastor. He went there for a leadership seminar. So we had a great time chatting. Oh, it doesn't end there. I was at my gate yesterday, last night, in Anchorage, and there he is again. He's everywhere. And I'm like, you're not, he goes, no, I'm not on this flight, but I saw you over here. So we chatted a little bit more, and he kept saying, I'll see you again. You know, how do you make this stuff up? And then we went out to get like wood-fired pizzas the last night we were there in Talkeetna. And the owner of the place said, oh, you want to go to this place? They got live music. So this time we've got our table, the sun's hitting us, the band is right there, and it's really nice. This time we didn't join anybody else. Somebody just joined us. She just said, I'm crashing. I figure she was a little bit older than I was. And she's got this brochure. She is there. She's originally from the Chicago area. And it was actually a memorial. We had no idea. This band was brought a celebration of life. And we just had a long, long conversation with her. I got to tell her I was kicked out of Altar Boys, and now I'm a preacher. Got to tell her some of my story. We got to listen to her story. I want to share just a trail lesson, and then some things I learned, and then we'll get back to finish out the final two verses. We went on a bus tour, and it was cool. It was like 5 hours. Had to get up really early in the morning. And sometimes he'd stop, and he'd say, see over there? And there's an animal. It might be a bear. It might be a bald eagle. Might be a moose. And he had this zoom lens, and he'd zoom in on it. I mean, incredible zoom. And then we had these little screens, and we could see them there. Now, if I wanted, I could take a picture. I didn't. And it was cool. But the last day we were in Denali National Park, we're about 5 minutes from the car. We come around this corner, and I was just like, whoa. I said whoa out loud. Sometimes people say moose are like horses, and they are similar, but it was a female, it was a mama moose. I swear her back was like this high. When you encounter not something on a screen up in the field, but it's right in front of you, there's nobody else there. There is something that is just amazing about that. So we were going to backtrack because you can't go down the trail. You have to give it its space because they can be dangerous. We're going to go down the road. But right before we left, her calf comes out. So now we get to see mama and the calf. It was such an awesome, special moment. While we are having this moose encounter, we can hear through the forest, and we'd seen the group, there's a ranger giving a tour to people. And the kind of stuff he's telling them is like, well, you can encounter moose in this area. Now, those words weren't coming out of his mouth as we were there. I would have liked to have said, hey, come on over here. But if I yelled, they were getting a description of what they wanted to see. We were experiencing it. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? A lot of people want to hear somebody talk about Jesus. Okay, now I realize I'm doing that right now. But these folks would have gladly, they would have given 10 bucks. I guarantee people in the national park would have given 10 bucks to be standing where we were. They probably paid 50 bucks for the ranger. But you don't want to hear someone talk about the encounter. You want the encounter. And we got it. And you know, the other thing is that we came upon it by ourselves. There's other times it's like, look, there's a crowd of people. Why are those people parked like that? Are they unintelligent? It's like, no, they're all looking at some marvel of nature in its natural habitat. So then we went down this way, and then we're going down the road, and we surmised that, sure enough, it crosses the road. Other cars are stopping, and other people are getting pictures, but we're kind of like, we're the folks that encountered it first that day. There was this woman from Seattle, and she took her pictures. She's standing right next to me. And I'll always remember it. She just went. And I thought she saw something else, but she almost had tears in her eyes. She's just like, I just got a chance to see a moose like this far away. There is something about having the encounter. The irony is sometimes we listen to people who talk about the encounter. Jesus wants you to encounter him. That's what this Psalm is about. He knows everything about us. What do you know about him? He wants to reveal himself to you. He's not going to do it to just everybody. Now, you can be in the right area, you can know a lot about, but encounter, yeah, that's awe. No one can meet and experience Jesus for you. No one can. One of the things I ordered while I was on this trip, yes, Amazon even worked from the 49th state. I ordered a new one-year Bible. I've not been using a one-year Bible for a few years, but there's a new version of the Bible I've been wanting to check out, the ESV. And so I ordered that. And you know what? I'm excited because I believe I'm going to see new things. Like I caught the word travel in the NLT, and I just love that how God speaks afresh and anew through His Word by His Spirit. Listen to His Spirit. We also went to Wrangell St. Elias National Park. Now, many of you might be, I've never even heard of it. It's the largest U.S. national park. There's 63 parks. It is the largest. How large is it? It's the size of Maryland. And Maryland is the 42nd largest state. So that means that Wrangell St. Elias, a national park, is larger than 9 of our states. That's crazy. It's huge. And it doesn't have the tallest mountain, but it has the most tall mountains. Doesn't have number one, but I think it's got 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, whatever. It's crazy. We stayed close to it, and there was this great view. And I thought, that must be the monster right there. No, it's not. The reality is, the best, biggest mountains, you can't see them. You can't get near them. And especially if you have a rental car. Because you sign an agreement before you go that there are certain roads you will not go down. Because they're gravel, they're dirt roads. You can't go down there. It is inaccessible. The best parts of the national park, unless you were to fly in, but in general to the average person, inaccessible. Kind of like celebrities. But not like Jesus. Psalm 139 says, He is accessible. Morning, noon, night. On the far side of the earth, when you're lying down in your bed, He is accessible everywhere. Jesus knows you. How well do we know Jesus? I'm looking forward to reading the one-year Bible in the ESV because I want to get to know Jesus better, because everything I learn about Him, I love. So do you know Him? Are you just listening to the park ranger? I can't help but to think some of you are like, you're the park ranger in the story. Maybe I am. But don't just listen to me. Have your own moose encounter. And when you have it, there's just a sense of awe. Let me ask you this. Is there a part of you that's running from God? Only you know that. But Jesus already knows. Invite Jesus into that darkness that might be in your life. He's the only one that can truly help you with that.
And let's close Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along a path of everlasting life.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know where we might be trying to hide. It didn't work for Adam and Eve. It hasn't worked for anyone. And maybe there's somebody that's listening to this who really is more like a runaway train. And Father, I pray that you'd intervene and you'd help them to know their situation is not hopeless. There is no hopeless situation with you. Father, I pray for those that don't know you at all, that they would call upon you as Savior. Jesus, that they would receive the mercy, the grace, forgiveness through the cross, through your death, through your burial and your resurrection, and they would find redemption. And Father, for those of us who would say that we know you, help us not just to have somebody else's experience, but help us to have our own. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall I fear? angel armies is always by my side.
I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you can join us live and in person next week, or we'd love to see you on Wednesday night. Just give us your name, give us a number, and we'll have food for you. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Big Chosen. God bless you. Have a great week.